Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
When you love God and you follow Him and you're committed to Him and you decide, I'm going back in the world, that I'm going back to my old lifestyle and I'm going to live after these things, you are now deserting your call. You have been called, you have been recruited by God, you have been brought into the kingdom of God, and salvation is not a one-time event. Salvation is not, I raised my hand, I went forward, I gave my life to Jesus, and now we'll just go on living like I did.
As we begin to know God, to know His goodness, His love, and the new life only He can bring, we must decide whether to continue living for this world or to live completely for Him. May we be grounded in the truth, knowing this world has nothing for us, and Jesus is everything and so much more than we'll ever need. With our continuing series through Philippians, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson.
Father, we want to thank You again for Your word. It is indeed incredibly rich. We thank You for all that You are continuing to do in our lives, and we give You permission to do whatever You see fit, whatever level You see fit. We want to hear from You today as we look at this passage that You gave Paul to write to the Philippians. And we thank You for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The title of our message today is Just Passing Through. And no matter where you are in life, whether you are young or old, whether you realize it or not, you are just passing through this earth. There have been billions of people that have passed through before us. If the Lord tarries, there may be billions more that will pass through after us. And we have to understand that our time here on earth is, here's the word, temporary. It is not permanent. But many of us live as if our time here is permanent, as if this is all that exists, as if this is all that matters. But the Bible encourages us not to be in love with this world, not to love the world nor the things that are in the world. The Bible encourages us to be heavenly minded instead of earthly minded. Have you ever heard that statement, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good? Impossible. Can't be done. Now, somebody can be so religious, so pious, that they're no earthly good, but you cannot be too heavenly minded. The more heavenly minded you are, the more you are going to help everyone who is around you, because you have the proper perspective of what this life is all about. Now, Jesus Himself said that we are in the world, but we are not to be of the world. We are here, but those who don't know Jesus are living here. They are of the world, but as Christians, we're not. We are, I used to say when the X-Files were popular, we are the real X-Files. We are the aliens. We are those that the world does not understand. They don't comprehend us, the born-again Christian, those that believe in the Word of God. And so we are mocked. Saturday Night Live, Mad TV, the regular news, you name it, we get mocked because the world just doesn't get it. They don't get that we are not about this world. We are about God. Jesus said, do not love this world nor the things of the world. He went on to say that if anyone loves this world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now that's a pretty good test. Do I love the things of the world? How tightly do I hold on to the things of this world? Corrie Ten Boom, you remember who she was? She was a Holocaust survivor. Her and her family, she was not Jewish, her and her family had rescued many Jews from the Nazi Holocaust camps where they were murdered, where they were gassed. They had saved many of them. They eventually got caught. Their whole family was arrested and thrown into different concentration camps. Corrie and her sister Betsy were put into Ravensbrück. And Betsy ended up dying in Ravensbrück. And Corrie was released by an accident. Now we know that really wasn't an accident. We know that God's hand was involved in it, and that God wanted her to come out and share with us. And for many decades after she was released, she did travel and share what she had learned about God through her horrific experiences. But one of the things that she has said, which is always such a good reminder to me, was that we must learn to hang on to the things of this world with a light grip. And I love that, because the things that we possess, it's not what really matters. It's like Jesus said, a man's life does not consist in the things that he possesses. When I was a teenager, I thought that my identity was wrapped up in the car that I drove. I thought it was wrapped up in whether or not I had a girlfriend. Maybe you teenagers are in that same boat, that same frame of mind. Our lives don't consist of those things. Our lives consist in the relationship that we have with Jesus. The Bible goes on to tell us that if anyone loves this world, the love of the Father is not in him. And again, you can't love God and mammon at the same time. Now, what is mammon? That's not a word we use in sentences regularly, is it? When's the last time you said to your kids, listen, children, don't love mammon? And they would go, okay, whatever that is, I don't know. The word mammon, it's an interesting word. It's a Chaldean word. Chaldee is the area of Babylon. It's an ancient Chaldean word. It's the area of Iraq today. So it's an ancient Chaldean word that personifies wealth. It's a word that turns wealth into a person. And so Jesus said, you can't love God, who is a person, and mammon, wealth personified, at the same time. You can't have the love of money and things and all that it brings and the love of God at the same time. He went on to say, you'll end up loving one and hating the other. The Bible says that many have been shipwrecked in their faith because of the love of money. If our lives are ships sailing on the water, there are some reefs that are the love of money. And as we come close to those reefs, we see there are many shipwrecks that have crashed against those reefs. Some of my friends have done it. Some who had given up everything, had given their lives to Jesus and laid it all aside, who began to live for him and pour their lives into him, and then all of a sudden, slowly, because that's the way it happens, slowly began to desire money once again. Slowly began to desire that which wealth brings into their lives. And their ship was wrecked upon those reefs. James tells us, well, he says that those who love the world are adulterers and adulteresses. And he puts it this way. He says, don't you know that friendship with this world is enmity with God? And he addressed that to adulterers and adulteresses. Adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship with this world is enmity with God? He's not talking physically, adulterers and adulteresses. He's talking spiritually. Those of you that should be faithful to God, but you haven't been faithful to God because you have this love for the world. And once again, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, all of the things that we find are here in the world and they are not from God. And we want the gifts that come down from him. There's even a biblical example of a man by the name of Demas. He was part of Paul's team. As Paul traveled planting churches in what is modern-day Turkey and eventually over into Greece, over into Europe, he had a team of men that traveled and met with them, and he would send them around. One of them was a guy by the name of Demas. He's mentioned in a couple of places just as part of their team. And then in 2 Timothy, I think it's 4:10, in 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul says this, Demas, loving this world, has deserted to Thessalonica. And he uses the word in the Greek for desertion. It's a military word that he had deserted. When you love God and you follow him and you're committed to him and you decide, I'm going back in the world, that I'm going back to my old lifestyle and I'm going to live after these things, you are now deserting your call. You have been called, you have been recruited by God. You have been brought into the kingdom of God, and salvation is not a one-time event. Salvation is not, I raised my hand, I went forward, I gave my life to Jesus, and now we'll just go on living like I did. Salvation, you're living your life, and then you're saved, and it changes. Proof that you gave your life to Christ is that everything becomes new. You become a completely different person. You become a completely new person. We are not to love the things of this world. Well, that's my intro. Now let's get to the text. Pick it up there in verse 20, but before we get there, I want you to look at verse 14, because that's the entire key to this text. Paul says, I press forward towards the goal for the prize, for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, we've talked about what that word press means. We've talked about the prize. We've talked about the goal. But we have yet to talk about the upward call. That's what we're going to talk about today. The upward call is heaven, where he says in verse 20, "For our citizenship is in heaven." You and I have been given a citizenship in heaven. Our citizenship is not here any longer. We are citizens of heaven. Ephesians puts it this way: you have been seated in heavenly places. Now you might say, well, how can I be seated in Calvary Tucson and then seated in heavenly places at the same time? Because you're thinking wrong. When you're thinking about being seated in heavenly places, he's not talking about an actual seat. He's talking about a place made for you. When a king would take over, he would have a court, which would be full of advisors, full of men and women who would do work for him, and they would have seats. It's like the president of the United States today has an administration, and each one of those administrations has a seat. Doesn't mean there's a seat somewhere where they go sit down, although they would have an office and a chair. That's not what it's talking about. When it talks about a seat in the administration, it's talking about a place for them. You have been seated in heavenly places because that's where you belong. Jesus said, I'm going away. And if I go away, I will prepare a place for you. He's gone and he's preparing a place for us. I love what Keith Green said in one of his songs. He said, it took Jesus 6 days to create the world, and he's been working on your mansion for 2,000 years. He's preparing a place for you. You don't belong here, you belong there. We're not there yet, but we got a place for us up in heaven. Now, isn't that amazing? Really, when you think about it, we have a place up in heaven. I don't know what you think about when you think about heaven. You say, okay, I got a place in heaven. Maybe you're thinking about fat, naked, flying babies, blue, you know, skies, puffy clouds. And you're thinking, all right, I got a place around there. I'm floating around on a cloud for a few thousand years. That may be nice for a few thousand years, but I think I'm going to get pretty bored. And I've had people tell me before, you know what? I don't want to go to heaven. I want to go to hell and party with my friends. All right. You don't have a good understanding of eternity, buddy. Your little philosophy has major flaws in it. First of all, no partying in hell, all right? That's first. Important for you to know. Secondly, heaven is not what you think heaven is. The Bible describes, first of all, some of the things of heaven: golden streets, transparent walls, and pearly gates. The 12 gates and the foundations and the city, it's got golden streets. Well, I don't know whether there'll really be golden streets, but I know this. It speaks of the fact that that which is very precious here on the earth, how much is gold now per ounce? $1,450, right around there, $1,420 or $1,430, somewhere around there. A troy ounce, so this little coin worth $1,400 and something dollars now. And that's the asphalt of heaven. You walk on that. You walk around, well, I'm walking on that, all that gold. It doesn't mean anything in heaven. Doesn't matter. See, the value systems aren't the same. No wonder Jesus said, don't stack up for yourself treasures here on earth, but stack them up in heaven. Now, I don't know how you're doing with your 403 or your 501. I don't know if you're following the advice of investing as much as you possibly can in these things to prepare for your retirement, but I'll look past retirement. How are you doing in stacking things up in heaven? How are you doing in your 401 in heaven, right? Your 403B, how are you doing in heaven with that? The pearly gates. Well, how do you make a pearl? Well, you don't make it, but how does an oyster make it? It's an irritation, pearl, right? The pearl coats it. Finally, it creates a pearl. It was created all because there was an irritation. Well, now you got a gate in heaven made out of a pearl. That's one big pearl. It's one big oyster. It's one big irritation. Right? And so the Bible says, through tribulation, we enter into heaven. Sorrows, grief. In this world, you will have tribulation. Peter, don't think it's strange that you encounter various trials. James, rejoice when you encounter various trials. We know that it is through hardships and difficulties that we enter into heaven. It is through some grief and sorrow that we go into heaven. We know that. We understand it. Transparent walls. What are the transparent walls all about? I don't know whether there's really transparent walls that are in heaven or whether it's speaking about our lack of a need for privacy. Right now, I need privacy. You need privacy, right? You need time where you are all alone and no one else is around. You need that. We have locks on our doors. And I use the lock on the door in me and my wife's room. I lock it, and then I change my clothes. Why do I do that? Because I have children that have never learned the concept that if a door is closed, you just don't walk through it. I don't want to scar them for life. So I lock the door, right? I need privacy. But there's coming a day when I don't. I think of Adam and Eve in the garden. The Bible says, and the man and the woman were naked and they did not know it. They had no need for privacy because they didn't have sin nature. It doesn't mean they didn't have the ability to sin, because both of them would, but it means they didn't have the sin nature that you and I have today. Because of our sin nature, we need privacy. And in heaven, we're not going to need it anymore. However, that's going to be neat, you know, golden streets and pearly gates and transparent walls. It's all going to be neat to see. But it's not about what's there. You can go to a really neat place. You go to Niagara Falls and see it for a little while. That's really cool. But after, you know, I don't know, a couple weeks of being there, you're like, I'm ready to go. I want to go home. Go back to Tucson where it's 107 degrees. I don't care. I just want to get out of here. No matter how beautiful it is, pretty soon you want to get home. Heaven is not about what's there. It's about who's there. And there's two different. First of all, there's God. God is there. When Isaiah, Ezekiel, and John saw their visions of the throne room, and God, they all had some things in common. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. Well, the train of God's robe was actually, it shines like a bright light. It's the glory of God that filled the temple. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that we will not need a sun or a moon to provide light because the Lamb himself will be the light. That's the glory of God, the basking in the glory of God. God will be in heaven and we will be drawn to his glory. Do you know in the bodies that you have right now, if you were to see God in all of his glory, you would die. Your body can't take it. Just like the glory of the sun, if you get too close to the sun, there's heat, the light, radiation, bam, you're dead, right? When you get into the presence of the glory of God, these bodies can't take it. We would die. No man can see God and live, the Bible says. And even when Moses said, let me see your glory, God put him in a rock, put his hand over the rock, passed by, and Moses saw the air that God had passed by, and it left glory on his face. So much so that he had to put a cover over his face, because people were like, wow, what happened to your face? Because some of the glory was resident upon the face of Moses. Now, when we get to heaven, we'll have new bodies. We'll get to that in a moment. And we're able to stand in the glory of God. And every once in a while, you'll have a worship leader who will say, listen, folks, we're going to be doing this through all of eternity, so we better get ready for it now. You ever had somebody say that? And so let's practice now because we're going to be doing this forever. And I don't know whether you like that or not. You might go, I'm going to be in a worship service forever. That's heaven, just in worship service singing forever. I don't know. Party in hell? I don't know. Worship service forever? Wrong thinking. There's no party in hell, right? However, it's not like that. You're drawn to God. You're drawn to his glory. God is so glorious and so awesome and so incredible that you say, I want to be here. There's nowhere else in this universe that I'd rather be than here. My children were smaller. I have an adult kid who lives in Phoenix. When he was 3 years old, I went on a trip. I came back and hadn't seen him for a couple weeks, and I picked him up, and he grabbed onto my neck, and he just smiled. You ever had your kids do that when you've been gone for a while? And it's a good feeling. He missed me, and he wanted to be with me. And after a little while of carrying him, I wanted to put him down. I tried to put him down, but he was hanging onto my neck. And so I just had to carry him around some more because he wanted to be in the presence of his dad. He hadn't been in the presence of his dad for a while. Now, they're not like that anymore, by the way. They're, you know, how long can I be away from you? Can I, you come home at 11, 11:30, 12? Can I, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning? How long can I be gone from your presence? But when they were little, they just wanted to be around me. That's what we are with God. We're going to want to be there. Now, there's something else about heaven. Not only, and again, heaven is about who's there. The loved ones that have died before we've gone. See, it's not, if it were about the golden streets and the transparent walls and all the glory of heaven and the pictures that we see and all the things, the beautifulness of heaven, the emerald, the glass sea, the emerald throne, and it was about all of those things, well, again, after a while, might not be so spectacular. If I told you, listen, I'm feeling I want to send you on vacation. I send you to Hawaii, to Maui. You can go to Maui, but there's a catch. You've got to take with you the person that annoys you the most in life. And you can't ditch them. You got to eat every meal with them. You got to stay with them. You got to be with them the whole time. Or I'll send you down to Bisbee to a little bed and breakfast for a couple days with whoever you want. Which one are you going to choose? The bed and breakfast. You're like, I'm not going to be with that person. I can't do it. I will go insane. Now, there's been a couple people that have yelled out, you know, Maui, over when I said that. But I don't think they really understand or comprehend that it's about the person that you're with. It's not about where you go. Well, up in heaven, not only is God there, but those who have died in the Lord before us are there. We will be reunited with them. And even though relationships change, Jesus said that earthly things like sex are for here, and then in heaven, they're not going to continue on. Doesn't mean I'm not going to have a special relationship with my wife. There's the word again, special. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to have a special relationship with my wife throughout all of eternity. I mean, I'm going to have it with my kids. I'm certainly going to have it with her. Now, sex is for here upon the earth. It's not for in heaven. Unless you're a Mormon, and then you get your own little world, and right? You know the commercials, I'm, you know, a radical skateboardist and I'm a Mormon. They ought to have, I'm going to have sex throughout all of eternity, have millions of spiritual babies, populate a planet, I'm a Mormon. That's what they ought to have. But Jesus said that those were for here, but that doesn't mean that when I'm in heaven, I'm not going to be hanging out with my wife. I love her. I'd rather be with her than anybody else in the entire world. And we'll hang out, I'm sure, throughout eternity. Well, there will be that really good relationship with her throughout all of that time, to avoid the word special once again, especially when I'm talking about her. All right, so heaven is, it's indescribable. That's my last point here. We'll move on. Heaven is indescribable. I can't tell you what it's like. Anybody here know who H.P. Lovecraft is? H.P. Lovecraft was born in 1870-something. He died in like 1920. He was considered to be a successor to Edgar Allan Poe. He wrote kind of horror monster kind of stories. H.P. Lovecraft, I think, had a little bit of a cop-out, I believe. He wrote about Cthulhuan monsters, right? And they were indescribable monsters. And here's what H.P. Lovecraft said about his monsters. And he became kind of a cult figure in a sense that other authors write stories in his world. So they take the world he created and they write stories in his world. He said, it was like I said, a little bit of a cop-out. He never described his monsters. He made this whole world that had these monsters in it, but he never described them. Instead, he said this, they were so frightening that if you looked at them, you would go insane. That was his description. And then he would say in other places, the monster was indescribable, letting your imagination kind of take over the rest. Well, what H.P. Lovecraft found in these monsters is true about heaven. I don't know how I ever came up with that particular analogy, but it's true in heaven. And that is that Paul died, went to heaven, and came back and said, it would be a crime for me to tell you what's there. It's not that somebody told him, listen, if you do that, it's a crime. He says, I can't describe it. It's beyond description. Eye has not seen, the Bible says, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But the Holy Spirit is now beginning to reveal these things to us. But we can't describe heaven.
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast for Practical Christian Living. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to support it with your financial gift of any amount, please mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's J-U-L-I-A-N, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, We'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East and Southwest Tucson. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study. Drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore, or take a minute to look through our Mission Thrift Store located at our West Campus, which benefits our various missions projects. Have you accepted Jesus into your life or have questions about salvation? Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. That's S-A-V-E-D at calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.